tugging, polarized, fist raised in anger, staring down, don't meet the eyes. Everyone's a stranger, don't look at me, can't you see? I don't wanna talk to you. I'm plugged into the world, I'm wired.
Hello and welcome to the 10th and very special edition of Snug Sound, a podcast for Wi-Fi hopping, coffee sipping mobile workers everywhere. Snug Sound is produced by WorkSnug in association with Plantronics, simply smarter communications. Find out more at plantronics.com. I'm your host, San Sharma, and usually when you tune into a clip show, it's with some disappointment. But not this time, my friends, because we've put together the very best bits from past episodes, including 9 mobile working tips from 9 mobile working experts.
Hi, so I'm Richard Leyland. I'm the guy who founded WorkSnug.
People often say to me, you must have a lot of discipline to do that, to be able to get yourself out of bed in the morning and you know, not be tempted to switch on the TV or stay in your pyjamas all day. Discipline must be a huge thing.
I think so, yes. I mean, it relates to some extent to what I was just saying about you're going to have to manage yourself. You really need to have a sense of, I will get up and I will do these things by a given time. But to some extent, I think discipline is a slightly dated concept because it reminds me of the idea of turn up at 9 o'clock, work without stopping, always on, always connected, 5 o'clock comes, you're completely cut off and you go home. That's what discipline suggests to me. And I tend to be much more interested in the concept of awareness of how you work well, I suppose. So instead of assuming, right, I'm connected from 9 till 5, you learn about how you work best. Perhaps you work best when you start at 8 in the morning, but you go to the shower, you go for a gym trip or a walk at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know. Perhaps you need to have a massive break in the middle of the afternoon, pick your kids up, get your head out of it, and then do another hour or so in the evening, you know. And that awareness of who you are and how you work perhaps is a better concept than old style notions of discipline at work.
Hello, I'm with Judy Hemmingsley, queen of home working, author of Work From Home and All Round Good Egg. Hi Judy, how are you?
Hi Sam, I'm very well, thanks. The greatest danger is the one of becoming isolated. Even if you're a fairly self-sufficient introverted personality and you feel quite happy not interacting with other people, it's actually amazing how quickly you can run out of impetus when you're working on your own. So yeah. You need to make time during the week where you're getting out or you're talking to people or you're just doing something to interact with the world.
On the line, Jacob Sales of Office Nomads in Capitol Hill, Seattle, which is a co-working space.
Yeah, that's kind of been the shift in working. And as people get more mobile, they get more options on where they can work. And it starts really pushing the broader questions of what exactly people need to be productive. And the traditional thinking is that you need a place to sit your laptop and you need an internet connection. You need a laptop. You need a job that'll let you work remotely. And as these things are becoming more prevalent, that's when co-working starts entering, when you start encountering the need for social interaction beyond, you know, you can meet people at coffee shops and you can talk with them, but you're still, you know, taking your stuff when you go away to lunch. You're not talking about your day. Nobody knows what your name is. And that's what I consider co-working to be, is a space where it's a regular workspace outside of your home. It's very much, you know, in the same kind of idea as the coffee shop. You're bringing your stuff with you and you're working there. Mm-hmm. But you're also working around a set group of people that are also members there, and you get to know them. They get to know you. They can see when you're having a bad day, and, you know, they can take you out for beers after work and, you know, things like that.
The question that keeps coming up, what do you do with your laptop when you need the toilet? Is it cool to ask a neighboring coffee shop customer to look after your laptop while you nip to the loo?
I think so. I think that says something positive about the world, that there is a kind of trust culture within coffee shops. And I've never heard of anyone having their laptop stolen when they nip to the loo in a coffee shop. I'm sure it has happened, but I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I think it's fine to do that. I think if you're just popping to the toilet, that's okay. If you're going to go out and pick up your dry cleaning, don't ask someone to look after your laptop, because it's an inconvenience for them if they have to stay there for an hour or so. I think that's just sort of...
But I don't want to get too pseudo-intellectual about this, but I think it actually forges a bond between you and the other people using their laptops in coffee shops, you know? You're doing similar things. There's no reason why you need to be completely separate and distinct from each other, you know? They understand they need to go to the loo once in a while. So do you. Keep an eye on each other's stuff. The world's a happy place.
Oh. We have on the line an actual living, breathing mobile worker, Jose Reyes. Hola, Jose. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias.
Was that good?
It was very good, yeah, very good.
And if you were talking to someone who was an employee like yourself, who's just starting mobile working and needs to stay connected to a virtual team like you do, what kind of advice would you give them?
I'd say, you know, to really consider it. It's possible to do. There are lots of bits of tech and advice and around, and, you know, blogs and the Twitter community and such like that, which you get advice from and little tips from. But I think the first thing, I think, if you're considering it, is to, you know, is to consider it. It is possible to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, I don't think, deteriorate the quality of your work. It may make you more productive. Yeah. I think I certainly am more productive, and I think because of the ideas of how I've had to organise the way I work in order to keep up with the office, I think I've probably become more productive and more organised. And if you're of the mindset that you don't need the chit-chat of what the weather's like and what happened on EastEnders yesterday, go for it.
Who would miss that, honestly?
Fire. Come on.
Namaste.
Gracias. I don't know. What do you say in return?
I've really put you on the spot there. I know you haven't been in India very long. Cora, you are communications and community manager at PGI, a virtual meetings company. Is that right?
That's correct.
What would you say to someone who is considering remote work? How do you find that the benefits outweigh the challenges, and how should they prepare for the change?
Yes, I would say definitely the benefits outweigh the challenges. Definitely at this point in my career and what I'm trying to achieve, absolutely. I would say two things. I guess number one is make sure your team's on board, like 100%. And for whatever reason you need to work from home or work wherever, that it's clear and they are supportive. So as a forward-thinking team is a must. And then on the other half of it is make sure those that you surround yourself with, whether it's a travel partner or your family who might be in the house at the same time, they're on board as well, that you're not there just to, I guess in my case, vacation or sit around the house and clean. It's you're there to work, and that's your work environment. So I guess, yeah, make sure your boss is on board and make sure your family is as well.
On the Skype line with me today is Ian Sanders, business expert, author. And to use a few more buzzwords, we could also describe connected coffee shops like the one you're in as incubators for startups and ideas. There's something quite inspirational about working in a busier, kind of noisier environment. Maybe not the best environment for a podcast, but it can lead to ideas, right?
I think you're right, and I think for a lot of us, we are, you know, in the micro businesses, you know, the one person businesses. Let's face it, it can get a bit solitary, it can get a bit lonely, and even though you might be sitting in a coffee shop and you might not be, you know, in conversation with all the other people, I think being an environment with kindred spirits and like-minded souls should not be underestimated, because you kind of feel like, hey, it's not just me. There's loads of us here. But for me, I kind of like this promiscuity in different locations and venues, Stan, because what I'll do is, especially when I'm in London, I've got my kind of dozen favourite places, and depending on what kind of thing I'm engaged in, I'll choose one of those spaces. So if I've got a kind of grown-up meeting with someone where I need to be, you know, quite well behaved, that'd be a certain place. If I've got a more casual meeting with someone I know really well, I'll pick somewhere else. If I've got a morning where I need to be coming up with loads of ideas, and it might not work for everyone, but I'll always go for somewhere quite noisy where I know there's a lot of music, there's a lot of vibe, because that helps me think. And I think, you know, what a great You know, I was talking to someone, I had a meeting with someone earlier today who lives outside of a city and outside of a town, and he was saying how he really struggles to find a space where he can hang out, because in some small towns, you know, they don't encourage coffee shop working because they think you're taking the mickey, you know, sitting there nursing one cup of coffee for an hour and a half. But in cities and towns or bigger towns, you know, you can kind of get away with it, as you know, and I think it can be really... it can fuel your working day if you get it right.
With me on the line is Gemma Kentecky from telecoms company O2. Mobile working as we speak. Love it. Hi, Gemma. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. I think you can't beat that corridor chit-chat, I call it. So you see someone in the office that you haven't seen for a couple of weeks and you just kind of have a bit of a download and catch-up about what you're doing. And that's really... really vital that you kind of encourage to have that interaction.
So how do you do that when you're not in the same place as someone, when you're a dispersed team like you guys are? Does collaboration suffer in these kind of corridor chit-chat?
Like, you just have to collaborate in a completely different way. So like, we are always on the phone to each other. Like I said, we've got Twitter. We just do it that way. And you tend to find that you operate in a slightly different way. So it's not uncommon for me to be on maybe 3 or 4 conference calls a day, because you know you're not going to have that conversation face to face, so you kind of you either schedule it or you agree to do it at a convenient time. So I end up having probably just as many conversations as the average desk-based worker, but I just do it via the phone from a different location.
I'm on the line with Baz Boersma, who's head of the Work Life Innovations Program at Cisco, also chair at Connected Village Foundation.
Well, technology is a fundamental driver without which you can't make these changes. You can't go through this transition. The biggest change of all that in the end allows society to change and organize itself around new ways of work is, in fact, a change of culture and not so much technology. So I think it'd be fair to state that technology is pretty much available now that allows us to work radically different. And the big thing that now needs to happen is a change of culture. And that change of culture can then be accelerated possibly by people individually or as groups or as organizations understanding that there's actually a lot of money to be made through it, higher efficiency, cost optimization by simply having a lessened need for traditional offices and having to heat them and so on and so forth. So it's that combination that really is going to take us further into that transition.
Wired but disconnected. Well, I hope you enjoyed the 10th and very special edition of Snug Sound and all of the advice you've heard from our mobile working experts. Thanks to them for their tips, and to you, of course, for listening. For more mobile working advice, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, which you can do on our blog at worksnug.com. Snug Sound is produced by Worksnug in association with Plantronics, simply smarter communications. Find out more at plantronics.com.